Has geoengineering to alter the climate actually been in operation for decades? How decisively does mainstream media and their fact checks put to rest contemplation of mechanisms for producing forest fires as a deliberate strategy rather than unintended fallout from climate change? Does the notion of full spectrum dominance of the planet extend to transforming humanity itself? Is the most important scientist of the 20th century not the famous Albert Einstein, but the more obscured Nikola Tesla? This week on the Global Research News Hour, as the wildfires in Manitoba and across Canada are raising concerns and has many figures pointing to climate change as a major culprit, we resurrect an earlier interview pertaining to secret technologies being used that not only affects forest fires, but also weather, earthquakes, hurricanes, and even, shockingly, people. We will speak to the author of the Geoengineering Trilogy and discuss the fourth book, The Geoengineered Transhuman, The Hidden Technologies of HARP, Chemtrails, 5G, 6G, Nanotechnology, Synthetic Biology, and the Scientific Effort to Transform Humanity. On this week's edition of the Global Research News Hour, End Goal of Geoengineering, Control of the Earth, and All of Humanity. Bringing you the analysis beyond the media headlines, the Global Research News Hour is on the air. Welcome to the Global Research News Hour for the week of May 30th, 2025. The program is funded by the Center for Research on Globalization and produced in collaboration with campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm your host, Michael Welch. The show seeks to provide listeners with access to analysis of some of the major issues shaping our world today from thinkers, researchers, and unique political personalities rarely addressed by major media. Our shows are available to partner radio stations across Canada and the United States and available for streaming or download at the site globalresearch.ca. We acknowledge that this program was produced on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, the Innu, the Ojibwe, the Dene, and the Dakota, the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis Nation homeland, the gifts to European settlers that were attained from the land and waters were secured unjustly by faulty promises, broken treaties, and force, and resulted in crimes of colonialism and genocide against the indigenous people. Let us address the injustices committed in the past, confront reconciliation and pay reparations in the present, and establish a platform for moving ahead with full respect between the two partners. Now it's time for News Notes, a sampling of articles from the Global Research News site. Listeners should know that some of the articles may run against common messaging about sensitive subjects and are not all endorsed by this radio station. One may recall how South Africa's 2023 International Court of Justice case accusing Israel of genocide in Gaza angered Israel and its close ally, the U.S. Trump's executive order on February 7, 2025, halting aid, explicitly cited this case alongside the issue of land expropriation as being, quote, aggressive, unquote, against American interests. Basically, in today's war of narratives, a claim of genocide can be countered with a similar claim exploiting domestic ethnopolitical problems, and a global South BRICS country might be a good target. Palestine today faces documented mass killings with over 50,000 deaths in Gaza since 2023, per UN reports, alongside deliberate infrastructure destruction and starvation policies, arguably fitting genocide's legal definition. To sum it up, the Boer issue is real enough, but Trump's hypocritical focus on South Africa basically aligns with Israel's agenda, given South Africa's ICJ case against the Jewish state. That comes from the article, Trump targeting South Africa at behest of Israel, with Boer issue real, but being abused, by Uriel Araujo, posted May 28th, originally published on InfoBricks. Since Trump appears to be one of the least informed presidents, what he may not have fully understood is that just prior to the helicopter attack, Ukraine sent
1,400 drones into Russian territory, targeting Russian civilians as it shut down Moscow's airports. Russia's air defense system was effective and defeated the drones as Ukraine drones then attempted to take Putin's helicopter down on his way to Kursk. While the U.S. is still supplying weapons to Ukraine, the question is whether Trump knew about an impending attack on Putin's helicopter and how American expertise may have had a hand in interpreting the complicated helicopter intel. In response, the Russians countered with a drone attack on Kiev, which elicited a further response from Trump. Trump responded by referring to, quote, "Putin is crazy," unquote, for allegedly no reason. That comes from the article, "How Trump Dismantled Any Chance for Peace in Ukraine," by Renee Parsons, posted May 28th. Over the last 14 years, jihadist rebel groupings have spread across the West Africa region, resulting in internal displacements, the impeding of development projects, and mass deaths. Chagos Islanders have waged a decades-long campaign to win the right to return to their homeland and to receive reparations for the damage done since 1965. The leasing of the territory by Britain to the U.S. coincided with the escalation of the Pentagon occupation of Vietnam, which lasted another decade until the total defeat of imperialism in Southeast Asia in 1975. The British High Court hearings held during late May were the result of the work of Bernadette Dugasse and Beatrice Pompey, two Chagosian women determined to win justice for their displaced people, many of whom live in the UK. Both expressed disappointment after a last-minute decision to bar the right of return for Chagosians, even though Mauritius has been ostensibly given sovereignty over the territory with the exception of the Pentagon base, which is also utilized by the British armed forces. That comes from the article, "British Return of Chagos Islands to Mauritius Maintains Imperialist Control Over Military Base," by Abeyomi Azikiwe, posted May 29th. World public opinion is largely unaware of the fact that in November 2013, the State of Israel was the object of a historic judgment by the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, or KLWCT. Quote, "From 1948 and continuing to date, the State of Israel," hereafter, quote, "the defendant," unquote, "carried out against the Palestinian people a series of acts, namely killing, causing serious bodily harm, and deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about physical destruction. Such conduct constitutes the crime of genocide under international law, including the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Genocide, 1948, quote, the Genocide Convention, unquote. In particular, Article 2 and punishable under Article 3 of the said convention. It also constitutes the crime of genocide as stipulated in Article 10 of the Charter of the Kuala Lumpur Foundation to criminalize war, unquote. In enforcing this so-called, quote, deal of the century, unquote, the President of the United States is complicit in extensive war crimes. That was from the 2025 introduction to an article under the headline, "Israel Charged with War Crimes and Genocide, Complete 2013 Judgment of the Kuala Lumpur Tribunal," by Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, posted May 29th, originally published by KLWCT and Global Research.
These are just a few of the featured articles appearing last week on the Global Research website. Regular visitors to the site are encouraged to send monetary contributions by fax, mail, or online. Just go to globalresearch.ca and click Donate on the menu bar. with all the massive Manitoba wildfires that are up top of the news locally and even nationally, you may have remembered a past show that we did in which we showed wildfires in California and how they were not merely consequences of climate change, but actually engineered deliberately using secret technology. And one of the guests who joined me in that discussion was Ilana Freeland. And she only scratched the surface of this topic. So I invited her to come back later on in the year to explain the technologies involved a lot more thoroughly. This interview is aided by a review of her most recent book, the fourth in a trilogy on geoengineering. The book is called The Geoengineered Transhuman, The Hidden Technologies of HARP, Chemtrails, 5G, 6G, Nanotechnology, Synthetic Biology, and the Scientific Effort to Transform Humanity. So these technologies are far more broad than creating climate change realities. In fact, their aim is for the ultimate form of control to an elite within our species. This month has been the month of MayWorks, talking about the working class continuing to struggle and ultimately triumph over the ruling class. So hopefully this interview will give us some very important realities we have to share about the world around us to prevent our complete subversion before it's too late. So who is our guest? Ilana Freeland is a writer, ghostwriter, lecturer, storyteller, and teacher who researches and writes on deep state issues, including the stories of survivors of MKUltra, ritual abuse, and invasive electromagnetic weapons. And she earned a bachelor's degree in creative writing and a master of arts degree from St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico, concentrating on history in hysteriography. And her past three books in the geoengineering trilogy are Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth from 2014, Under an Ionized Sky, from Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown from 2018, and her latest on the geoengineered transhumanism. So let us explore further the ramifications of this technology. Ilana Freeland, welcome back to the Global Research News Hour. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you mentioned in your last interview with me about direct energy weapons and geoengineering that are affecting climate wildfires. And we will discuss the transhumanism angle just a little bit later in our talk, but the aims of these and other technologies that you write about just in a minute. But first, I'd like it if you could talk a little bit more about some of the other technologies being used to affect the planet, of course, but I mean, they would have other things going on as well. So, I mean, talk about them, beyond the direct energy weapons thing and how these technologies actually came into existence.
If you mean geoengineering in itself, and that is a very broad subject, as the titles of my books indicate, you have to really start back in the 90s when a construction project up in Gakona, Alaska, was made public in a book in 1995 called Angels Don't Play This Harp. And the harp was spelled H-A-A-R-P for the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project going up in Alaska. And that book was written by Dr. Nick Begich and Gene Manning. I read that book in just about right after it came out. And bizarrely, the following day, I had been reading it at a substitute teacher job that I had in the faculty lunchroom. And various people sat at the table. And yet the following day, I had an Army helicopter over my house for approximately 10 minutes While I guess he was charting my XY coordinates, I assume I was going on some sort of list, and I right away realized that the book I was reading by Nick Begich was really a blockbuster of a national security project that was going on, and that I was, I don't know, it might be dangerous. I didn't know. I mean, that was not a time when you heard anything about geoengineering. Never even heard the word in the press. What we heard was chemtrails, and we heard a lot of making fun of people, particularly in the early internet days, making fun of people as tinfoil hats, and there are no chemtrails, and that's ridiculous, and the whole CIA thing that my generation, the 60s generation, had gone through after John F. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas. The CIA had thrown bandied about this term conspiracy theorist, and it became sort of a way of dismissing anyone who was questioning or criticizing the narrative that was put out by the mainstream media. So that was my beginning, and I had a file on chemtrails at that point. And I made a file for HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, not even knowing what that was. I didn't know what an ionospheric heater was. I didn't know how the technology was used. I was as ignorant as many people are to this day, because it was not put before the public. There was no debate. There was no discussion about this very militarized project. It was highly classified. As I started doing research and trying to find out, for example, find out what were the formulae that went into the jet fuel of the jets that were leaving these, what I thought were contrails at that time, condensation trails. But they were long and they lasted forever. And then they turned into a white cirrus-like cloud cover. The more I found out, the more in doubt I was about the secrecy required. And I realized that, as with all DARPA projects, and this certainly was a DARPA project, you're dealing with weaponry. And my concern was that if these chemtrails were being dropped above us and would leave a big long trail, unlike contrails, which usually left a very short trail that then would dissipate within 30 seconds maximum. But these long trails would turn into this cirrus cloud cover. And
I
I
just, if could
want.
have I just interrupt you for a second? I mean, I just want to mention that there was a report in the news recently in which Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the newly appointed Secretary of Health and Human Services, had said that the chemtrails are indeed real and that DARPA was most likely involved. But there was the press coverage at the time. It was shaped. It continues to be shaped by messaging about how these so-called fact checks saying that chemtrails are a conspiracy theory that have been debunked by scientific authorities, and they heard a 4-minute demonstration about how they're actually contrails, and talk about. Could you just mention how the announcement by Kennedy, how profound it is, and talk about the reaction on on the part of the mainstream press.
Yeah, well, the mainstream press, as you and I both know, is completely controlled now, not necessarily by the Democratic Party or the DNC, but by a certain opinion that has been decided is to be secret, but in full public display under various structured narratives. It's very similar to the Kennedy assassination, isn't it? I mean, we knew day one, we knew at least people in my generation knew that Lee Harvey Oswald had not been the sole perpetrator, if he was indeed a perpetrator at all. And yet that idea has been maintained for six decades now. And it's completely a lie. It's a fabrication. So the fact that they were using a fabrication for this, for like moving from chemtrails, which was the only term we had in the 90s for whatever this was that was happening in the sky, we had no idea. I mean, okay, there's a lot of passenger jets. A lot of jets are flying. People are going places. That's all it is. It's just from passenger jets. And then it was no, now and then it seems to be military. And there was a lot of discussion, but it was rarely in the mainstream media. It was in the alternative media. And of course, that was completely made fun of, and conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat. So when Robert Kennedy, the new HHS secretary, announced that he had discovered that he was going to really look into this chemtrails problem, now that 30, almost 30 states are now petitioning with a bill, they each have a bill to their state legislature to stop the chemtrails over their state. And this is the awareness took a big leap in, because I have followed this for 20 years. So you're not talking to some rookie here who has, some sort of emotional opinion about this. Not at all. But when North Carolina, when the storm that hit North Carolina and its behavior began to sort of, it had a weak position. There were too many anomalies in the details of how this storm proceeded into North Carolina and part of Tennessee. So it's since then that the states have been, wait a minute, wait a minute. What happened on Maui was never really explained, that the fire that happened on Maui, which did follow the California fires to a degree, but these are geoengineered fires. These are a better term might be microwave fires. And they are instigated from what looks to be like space. It looks like it's coming from above the earth. Well, it is. It's coming from the upper atmosphere, and it is delivered primarily by laser. And when it strikes the earth, then the next thing that people began to notice as analysis proceeded, they were looking at, well, how the destruction was of the buildings, and not all buildings, but certain buildings, and then not other buildings. And then there was the rumor of the blue roof and how it could protect you. And they began to churn the waters of this event so that the public is absolutely confused, and picking up the opinion of this person and that and this and that. And then the New York Times puts in its disinformation, and the Washington Post does its little act. And that's how everything has been handled that way, I'm sure, before John F. Kennedy's
Could you
assassination.
talk about the other technologies, for example, the use of nanotechnology and the use of microwaves and how that's being used as a service to the elites, as it were.
If you were to really study how this works, you have to go to my second book, Under an Ionized Sky: From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. The space fence is a Lockheed Martin term. Lockheed Martin is number one in the world for weapons production and weapons sales. It controls all the patents that have to do with what they call the space fence. And the space fence simply is, all in a way, all the electronics that are above us in the atmosphere, either in our troposphere or the stratosphere above it, are controlled because the ionosphere, which starts at about 25 miles above us and goes for a couple hundred miles until it it kind of merges with the magnetosphere. All of that is electromagnetic, okay? Just picture that, sort of like we're living under an umbrella of electromagnetism. And then on the Earth, we have all these different infrastructure, all the way from radar installations that belong to the military to telecommunications, power lines. We have all the things that are buried under the ground, like a cable, and we have cell towers, cell phones. I mean, everywhere we look, it's a wireless environment that we are now living in, and our health is going down the tubes because of this fact. And that's the important part, is if you understand there's the military and then there's the civilian, and we've had those two things pretty separate for well, thousands of years, but now the line between them is being erased, it particularly in the technology and what the military calls dual use of the technology. So a lot of the things that we think we need for our conveniences, one thing that comes to mind for me is gas lines. They go under the streets. They're everywhere. We don't see them because all we depend on is that, we used to have gas as something that would be gas stoves and gas heaters and that sort of thing. That's now being changed to where we are now looking at everything becoming electromagnetic and being electrically operated. These technologies are dual use. They can be fired up, as you were mentioning, directed energy weapons. Yes, they can be weaponized. So can the 60 hertz in the walls of our homes, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Nano Things. And when you bring up nanotechnology, that's exceedingly important because that technology is brand new. We've had it since, I'll say, the 70s. We've had it. Certainly, nature has had a great deal of nanoparticles. Nanoparticles are generally very natural. They're just teeny weeny. A nanometer is 1 billionth of a meter. So that tells you how tiny that the nano part is just simply a size that is being talked about. But
Okay. Yeah.
when the nanotech went into the rocket, the fuel of the jets, and it was also put into delivery mechanisms for technologies that they obviously, once you begin to get the lay of the land of how big this operation is, you see that they wanted it to be spread abroad to see what effect it would have on nature, yes. But also on the human being. What would happen when the human being breathed this in and it went into their bloodstream and then it went through the blood-brain barrier? It's been a massive experiment that has been going on. And what is the end? Well, to me, the end for the humans has to do with transhumanism and the destruction of the planet on its natural nature level. Has to do with making an environment that is exceedingly unfriendly to Homo sapiens, but possibly welcoming for the transhumans.
You're listening to the Global Research News Hour, broadcasting from CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg and from partnering radio stations across Canada and the United States. Ilana Freeland, who's the author of a recent book, The Geoengineered Transhuman, The Hidden Technologies of HARP, Chemtrails, 5G, 6G, Nanotechnology, Synthetic Biology, and the Scientific Effort to Transform Humanity. Ilana, another thing we should add, which you did in the book, is the 5G, 6G, but also artificial intelligence, which is relatively recent. And I mean, The fact is that, I mean, all of these technologies, which are different individually, but they are all molding into this new strategy to transform us. And I'm wondering, I mean, is it just like you got a new technology and we'll just figure out a way to use it, or is there some mechanism that's made the barriers, like even from their conception, illusionary, or you don't see how they unite until now? I mean, you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this I call it a wet dream. Sorry if that's offensive. This elite wet dream of total control over the Earth plane and the creatures on the Earth, including the human being, is a very old dream of secret societies. You go back far enough, I mean, and I can take it back to 1600, when Elizabeth I reigned in England, for example. And you see these alchemists who were unstintingly working on, we always hear that they wanted to change lead into gold, but they were working on a lot of things. And part of it was the human being. What is a human being? I mean, in a way, back then, they had in, I don't know if you know this, Michael, but I've been a student of Rudolf Steiner, who is dead. He died in 1925. He was a scientist and a mystic of sorts from Austria. He has put out a lot of information that can give us an idea of how the human being is, he calls it the religion of the gods. And what he means by that is that we're the only creature on the earth, to my knowledge, not even the whales and the wonderful dolphins, which are amazing creatures with very large brains, as you know. It's that the human being is dedicated, the evolution of the human being, which is ongoing. Ongoing, you know, we've been a race for a long millions of years, actually, to establish their control of their free will. And free will is something that even the angels don't do. If you read some of the medieval writers, they talk about the capabilities of angels and what they can do and can't. Most people don't believe in angels in America. I understand that. We're materialists here, but I think we are now coming up against the wall that we had no idea existed, which is that many of our scientists are not just materialists, but they are actually Satanists, actually practicing Satanists. Now, a lot of you may think Satanism is just a Halloween lark of some sort. No, it is an actual religion, and I don't have to go very far to prove that. But the fact that our scientists are treating us, we human beings, not with care and not with deep interest in a spiritual manner, like they did in the 1600 when the alchemists were studying the human being. No, they look at us as meat packages. In fact, the latest term in the CIA for humans is wetware, as in software, hardware, wetware. So, people have children. People have families they love. They have people they love. They used to be artists. We don't have many left. And the science it now is just a matter of, you try to get the grant money, you try to get the big corporate money, and you go for it. There's no question as to, is it good for humanity? Is it good for nature? Is it at all, something that is going to build instead of destroy? No, we haven't really paid any attention to that for decades, at least during my life, and I've been here seven plus decades. So, this is the problem. Is if I really dig down into geoengineering, for example, and the electromagnetism that it absolutely depends on, absolutely, and that's a huge issue. The chemistry it depends on, All of the parts that end up as mind control end up as it, you know, privacy is like a mirage now. It's
Well,
gone.
could you maybe just explain, just to back up a little bit? I mean, you claim that a lot of scientists are like practicing Satanists. I mean, because that's not exactly common knowledge. And I mean, I know a lot of people who have trained in this. Is there something about the sciences that leads you to believe that, or what is it about Satanism itself that's I guess finds its inroads within modern science, which is, it gets distinct from the kind of science that you're talking about.
Right. What I'm talking about is what has become known as scientism, and that term is well known. That is the fake science. That's kind of what we now are discovering, that the whole CV19 drama was really mired in, was this huge experiment. No previous knowledge of it. And you know, because I've studied this so deeply now, the synthetic biology of it, I can read books now and see where the lies are. I mean, not all of them, of course, that's an ongoing process, but there are a lot of lies that now are considered, quote, scientific, but aren't really. They're scientism, and they're made up to push an agenda. Now you can say, okay, it's a political agenda, but I can tell you that the political agenda is often, if you just scratch the surface a little bit, you're going to find a spiritual component. You know, we know that to a degree, but we are still compartmentalizing. That's how our education system controls our ability to think, which Rudolf Steiner said is a spiritual activity. You do not think, I mean, you can think with the brain, but the thoughts you'll come up with will not be either possibly true or will not go where you would want them to go, which would be in some wonderful creative direction that you're taking life in, so that more people can thrive and children can receive an amazing education that will give them a huge boost toward becoming the kind of individual who has a good long thought about which technology should we invest in that will help the planet, that will help human beings, and which should we avoid because all they lead to is war and destruction. So, you know, that kind of questioning, we don't even question that in America. It's like, if you can get the bucks to do it, go for it, and we'll see what happens. And then we can always, you know, kind of clean things up later with a lot of lies and subterfuge and make the health industry richer and the big pharma industry richer. That kind of thinking has to go. We can't afford that kind of thinking anymore. And that's what I mean when I say that scientists are practicing Satanists. I happen to know of people who, yes, it's hearsay, but it's hearsay from very, very believable people who have achieved a lot in life, of going to parties with elites. And suddenly there's like a ritual space. They are present at the at horrible things using children. So this is well known now. A lot of people don't want to, they don't want to go there. I get it. It's ugly, it's dark. We want to think the best about our nation, about the people who are running our nation, about the scientists who are creating the science that we are all in one way or another subject to. But it is true. It is absolutely true. And so now we need to really, and I think this Trump, Kennedy, Musk triumvirate that has come in and is working on different areas in order to drain the swamp, get rid of the deep state that, you know, I have been blighted with since John Kennedy's terrible murder, to clean things up And now we have the opportunity, and I think Robert Kennedy is taking full advantage of it. Well, maybe not as full as some people would like, definitely, but he is in the right direction to set our path more for truth, for real justice, for beauty, for goodness, for all these attributes, these virtues that we used to hear about in the liberal arts education that now is being completely smeared and wiped out. We at least would hear of people who sought to bring the good, the true, and the beautiful to humanity.
Okay.
That's what I meant by evil. And
Okay.
I can use the word evil if people don't like the word Satanism, but Satanism is simply a form of religion that is organized evil and very dedicated to death.
On the subject of the science being evil or faulty or whatever, I know that historically, Einstein, Albert Einstein was, people seemed to thrive all over. He was all over the place, all over the media. But another person, Nikola Tesla, I didn't really know that much about him from school. He was not, he seems to be only sort of in the shadows in a way, but he was a profound legend as well. So I was just wondering, when you consider things like what, the disappearance of the ether, which was something that with the special relativity the theory of relativity, they got rid of ether. You don't need it anymore. That's part of that whole, I guess manipulation of scientific thinking or something like that. So I mean,
Definitely.
yeah, and I mean, and Nikola Tesla seems to be linked to this whole. Or they used him in a way that, we could do a whole show just on Nikola Tesla, mind you, but he seems to be linked with this kind of thinking that's, behind the harp, the ionization of the charging of the ionosphere, so that there's a charge there that can be manipulated to manipulate weather and things like that. Could you address that subject of, this dual nature? As exhibited by those two figures.
Oh yes, I'd love to talk about that because we have a new science that just picture this. You said a couple things that I just want to comment on. The fact that you never heard about Tesla, the only time you ever heard Tesla mentioned, if at all, in high school science or college science is usually for alternate current. He discovered alternate current. He discovered a way that instead of just having direct current, he had alternate. But that's the very least of what he's done. There is proof that it was not that the people who've been credited with, for example, founding electricity, and how it works in buildings and that sort of thing. It had nothing to do with those people. It was all Tesla. He is the father of our entire electrical and magnetic, and we now combine that in electromagnetic technology. He used scalar technology in his experiments, and the scalar technology is exactly what HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, not project anymore, program, utilizes as a weapon system. And he had in mind, yes, free energy. He's loved by everyone who wants free energy. But of course, we are not allowed to have it because so much money is made off of making us pay for it. So he withdrew in about 1943, well, before that, 41, during our time when we entered the European War, as it used to be called, the World War II. Tesla withdrew finally because he realized that all the Americans really wanted from him was weapons. And unfortunately, that's kind of what's happened. The HARP program and all of the things used in it. And I say used again, we're back to that term dual use. It can all be used for electric lights, for fast movie downloads, like in the case of 5G. There are lots of conveniences and comforts that we derive from the same technology, which can be easily weaponized, certainly with scalar waves. And when the reason that Tesla is never mentioned, I think you get the picture, right? He's never really mentioned or studied in regular universities and regular high school courses because it gets too close to the weaponizing quandary that they need to have hidden under national security. That's the only reason. I've had a lot of contact with Serbians and people in the sciences and other Eastern European scientists. I mean, not a lot, but a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, some interviews, in discussing how Tesla's technology has been entirely weaponized, because I'm the only person, my books are the only place they find that in. They've my first book, Chemtrails Harp, was translated into Serbian because that's Tesla's home nation. And that book is available at every technological college in Serbia. That, not as a textbook, but as a supplemental reading material, because I'm the only one. Now, I don't have a PhD in science. I've sort of had to study all this because the only place you can find this, you can't find this in courses. There is no degree. I think there's now one place that has added some degree in geoengineering. But as far as the secret use, the weaponized use of this technology, I've had to put it all together, thousands of pages of reading and lots of notes and footnotes and things in order to see how it works. But is it all there? Well, I'm sure that some isn't there, but if you're paying attention, you can find an awful lot. But you've got to be able to contextualize this kind of science because they have, it's rather like that myth of Isis and Osiris when Osiris is killed and slain and his body's chopped up into 14 pieces and those are spread over the Nile Delta in Egypt. And then when she wants to put him together, she has to go and find each piece. That's how I feel. I'm putting together each piece of the real science that Tesla, that was stolen from Tesla. And lo and behold, look at our president, Donald Trump. He is the nephew of John Trump, who was the electrical engineer that was given custody over all of Tesla's stolen, I might add, stolen by our FBI,
Oh my gosh.
research in order to keep it in safe keeping while the Americans and whoever else, NATO and from NATO, decided how they were going to get that technology going, particularly the technology that was the most powerful weapon. And believe me, if you saw the 9/11 films, you saw it. It is here. That is definitely the HAARP system. The book by Dr. Judy Wood, she's a physicist, Where Did the Towers Go? If you don't own a copy of that, you are interested in seeing the greatest weapon, it's not the bomb. No, that's peanuts next to this.
Okay. I was wondering though, like as we're just discussing that our transformation into to transhumans, I'm wondering if there's are we at the end of that transformation already, or is there sort of a window by which we don't have to change, and how would we go about? Because you kind of end the book in a kind of a positive note. that we can we don't have to go through this whole process, that there are things that we need to do
We
to
need to.
reclaim our humanity in the wake of
Yes,
all these forces.
we need to. And the first step to that is to minimize your relationship with electromagnetics. I mean, that's so hard for people because it's like, oh, these are such cool toys that are coming out, and the videos and fast movie downloads and all that stuff. You know, the Americans' religion has become convenience and comfort, and that is a horror to me, a horror. I don't want everybody to be uncomfortable or not safe, but to put those at the very core of your judgment of do we really need these technologies for our to become greater humans, for our children to become great human beings who have tremendous depth and ability to figure out things with an intelligence that isn't just the brain intelligence of like like an AI, but actually has a pathos to it, has something making it more than just smarty pants. That's what we need, and that is exactly what HARP sort of set the stage for that, and now it's still functioning on that level. And I want you to know about this. Clifford Carnicom, the independent scientist I've worked with for 20 years, if not more, he has measured the atmosphere in a variety of ways with different instruments to determine that it has been completely changed. Not only does it have 16% less oxygen in it, and that figure is probably much more now. That's at least 10 years old. But he has also measured the frequency being pulsed into our atmosphere by HARP, by instruments like HARP that work together, that are all in an infrastructure of the space fence. 4 hertz, 4 hertz. What does 4 hertz mean? Well, if you look at the psychologists and how they line it up, 4 hertz is basically about dreaming, and sleep. So how is our intelligence quotient doing here on the planet? Well, it's not very good. It's not very good at all. Most people are sort of asleep. As far as that's the whole of humanity. Then enter the CV-19 vax schedule with all of its boosters, blah, blah, blah. And what you have is a software and hardware being injected into people on a very nano scale. Remember, we've got the nano thing down now. This is hardware and software that the 5G and 6G systems that are on the satellites above us and everywhere around us now, that they can program people from a distance, and in the people who are vaxxed, as you know, they are very influential regarding the unvaxxed if they're around them. This is all electromagnetically controlled from the Bluetooth, that is controlling those who have been vaxxed and reading their biometrics constantly because it's all experimental. This is the first generation of transhuman, really transhuman. Now, the rest of us, we have the titanium hips, and we have various, implants in our teeth and all of that stuff, the incidental stuff. Yes, that is transhuman, but we are not completely, we who have not been vaxxed are not completely contained in that. Our Homo sapiens is still alive and well. In those who have been vaxxed at least 3 times, that includes the PCR test, by the way. If indeed they have been, they're on an escalator heading toward being completely turned into transhumans. What will that mean? What kind of transhuman is it? Is it just enhanced the way that they always make it sound like, oh, we're going to be smarter, we're going to be stronger, we're going to run, races? And no, they're not going to share that with us. That's for the elite. We certainly won't be immortal, as the elite like to think they will be. This is a way to enslave humanity for once and for all by changing, yes, their genetics to a degree, but primarily transhumans will be run by the electromagnetism that is basically taking over everything on Earth. And that's why I say, let's begin by making our electromagnetic footprint minimal. I have never owned a TV. I have never owned a cell phone. They are both weapon systems. They are both mind control implements. I do own a computer. It's not safe. I haven't bonded totally with it, but I need it for my career, for writing these books, for being on the internet at this point. Soon that will be in the body, and it's sooner than you think, actually, in many people. It will be more prevalent because they are not as conscious as other people might be. And I do think consciousness plays a very large role in this. I mean, after all this technology that I learn and write about and explain how these systems interpenetrate each other, you no longer can get away with just having a doctor. In fact, I haven't been to a medical doctor since I was 13. I don't like them. I don't trust them at all. Anyone doing any medical procedure actually needs maybe to confer with an electrical engineer about some parts, with a chemist about other parts. This is not going to The compartmentalization is not occurring in this technology that is transhumanizing as many as possible. It's a lot of different sciences that are coming together, and they need to listen to each other. They need to hear how the other one is looking. Otherwise, they will never understand the system that will be run entirely by AI.
Lana, I read the Geoengineered Transhuman. It's quite demanding, and I think even the past book was about 600 pages, even more. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. You really put me off of electromagnetism now myself. But it was a fascinating discussion, and I want to thank you for joining us and elaborate on all your research, pioneering research, with our listeners.
Yes. Thank you so much, Michael. Yes, let people know.
And Ilana Freeland is author of the four-part geoengineering trilogy. A fifth part, focused more on the synbio, will be available sometime soon.
Right, next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the end of our show for this week. Next week, we will be looking at the approval recently by the WHO of the pandemic treaty and the dissenting views of some regarding the future of national sovereignty, and even a penetrating look at the WHO as a criminal cartel. Join us again in 7 days. You're listening to the Global Research News Hour, a program funded by the Center for Research on Globalization and produced in collaboration with campus community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe, the Innu, the Ojibwe, the Dene, and the Dakota, the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis Nation homeland. The show can air on partner radio stations across Canada and the United States and is available for streaming or download on the site globalresearch.ca. To leave feedback on this program, please email globalresearchnewshour@gmail.com. I've been your host, Michael Welch. Thanks once again for joining us.